where three people put things in front of their mouths and breathe really deep. Today they come together to make something special. It's spicy. It's erotic. It's kinky. It's taking in the scene, starring Mango Sorbet.
I put things in my butt.
Warm Orange.
However, comma.
And Denzel Darko.
Hello, world.
By far, it took a lot of planning to make that work.
Yes, that was our most coordinated intro to the podcast. But honestly, I'm a huge fan because we introduced the podcast. We introduced ourselves within the first, like, 10 seconds, which is actually kind of unusual.
That was smooth.
Typically, we struggle a bit to say what the podcast is and who we are.
And why did we have the trailer's voice today is because...
Great question.
We are talking about kink and media.
Oh, I'm so excited for this topic.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very excited to
What episode number are we on?
This is number 6, correct?
Of what season?
Season 3.
Woo! Season 3? Oh my gosh.
Oh my six.
Gosh. You survived. Damn, you're fine. Wow.
I am so excited for this topic. I'm deeply passionate about talking about portrayals of anything in media because that's how we consume that thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a very large source of our information right. All across like the board, and not just like for one particular culture as well, but like the entire world. So
it
can a lot of times be the first introduction.
Oh, completely.
Woo.
I can't tell you, like, when I moved to the South, I met people who were like, you're the first Jewish person I've met in person. Are you like how they are in movies? And I'm like, depends on the movie. Also, whoa, I'm your first.
Welcome to the South.
Yes.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah. Welcome to the South, where we have opinions about things we don't know about yet.
Yeah, Bible Belt action right here.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the truth is, in this area, there's a decent number of Jews. But I do have... You know, even to this day, people ask me why I don't celebrate Christmas. And that's another. We'll save that for the Jewish and kink episode we are doing later this season.
Ooh. Wait. Does it have anything to do with capitalism?
What thing? The episode?
Okay. No. The why you don't celebrate Christmas. Yeah, okay.
We'll answer that question in that episode.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's talk about kink and media.
Ooh, there's so much to talk about, actually.
So much to talk about. Where do you want to start, Orange? I know where I want to start.
I think it's a good idea to at least start talking about just like the generic perception of media and like what we mean by kink and media. So we're going to just jump to this one about the current media. So using the definition coming out from Britannica Encyclopedia.
Britannica.
This is specifically about sadomasochism. This is just to set the scene as far as what the perception is on BDSM and sadomasochism specifically. But this sentence, just this one sentence, while the public image of sadomasochism perpetuated in popular culture is often extreme in nature, sadomastic acts can vary widely. So the whole point of me putting that one sentence is just that the public image of sadomasochism is perpetuated in popular culture as extreme in nature. So like that extreme in nature thing, I think is indicative of all BDSM, Shibari, power dynamics, age
play.
Well,
we talked about this early on in, I think, season one, when we talked about like what is kinks, or what is the kink community, maybe?
I forget which definitions.
Yeah, but we definitely talked, the definitions, where we're talking about how it's like outside of the quote unquote norm.
Oh yes, with the foibles. I remember that.
Oh, foibles. That word is so fun to say.
The Moors and foibles.
Oh my God.
Foibles.
I think we should probably start with the super awful, terrible elephant in the room.
Oh, what?
I know.
What's the elephant? Also, what media are we
What forms of media?
Yeah.
I think for this episode, we're probably going to focus on movies, TV shows, and TikTok. I was going to say social media, but
Twitter. I can talk a little bit about
Twitter. I think we'll talk about social media then, but we'll probably focus on, I guess, Twitter and TikTok, not as much other social media.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do want to acknowledge that when we talk about kink and media, the first name on a lot of people's lips.
What is it, audience? Go ahead and say it right now. Wait. Say it. Say
you
it to yourself.
You already know.
How many shades of this color are there?
Well, technically, there's 150, right? Because
there's a lot
like
of
three books.
There's three movies, I think.
No, there's four movies.
Is it a part one, part two?
No,
Twilight did that. Okay.
Yeah. Which
for our
is
listeners
wild
who
in
haven't
itself.
Caught on, we are talking about the movies and books series, 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, the reason I assume Denzel brought up Twilight is because these books were written initially as fan fiction of Twilight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's not like obscure knowledge. That's written in the front like cover of the book.
So all my fan fiction writers out there, you might be onto something.
Right.
You might be onto something.
Or you might be off it.
Right, exactly. I actually don't want to spend a huge amount of time talking about this book because this book/movie series.
Right.
Because I think it's sort of agreed upon in the kink community that it's just an abuse manual. Like, if you want to know how to do abuse well, you should read those books.
So one thing I think would be a good...
Am I wrong?
I mean, I never read it or watched it. So
you've
like,
never seen it.
That's how much I've been kind of like, you know what? Maybe I don't need to absorb this bit of culture, but I know the significance of it.
That's actually a good point. We should mention to our listeners that the three of us haven't read... We're seeing every piece of media we're going to talk about today. We're also not like experts in media literacy. So we're just talking about like our opinions, which is generally the case.
Yes. And spoiler alert. So anytime you're wow, I don't want that to be spoiled for me, then, you know, just skip like 15, 30 seconds ahead.
For sure.
We'll try not to do
Very
that.
Good point.
But you have been warned at this moment.
Yes. Well, thank you, Denzel.
And one note on movies and media, specifically books to movies. It's completely slipped my mind when we were making our notes for this, but I forgot to talk about Vaginal Fantasies, which is a book club. A book club that was held by Geek and Sundry. Really cool, really interesting stuff. But they read through a lot of books that were specifically about like nerdy, but like sexy, like, you know, smut novels.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they, I think 50 Shades of Grey, like they might've stopped right as 50 Shades of Grey came out.
Uh-huh.
But they definitely talked about books like, you know, like there's an erotic book about zombies doing sex things and like talking about details and like getting into like werewolf stuff. And
are you talking about Chuck Tingle?
Chuck Tingle was talked about at one point. No, sorry, I take it back.
That sounds like a very interesting name.
You need
name.
To follow Chuck Tingle on Instagram. He writes really off the wall erotica.
Well, I mean, like all I'm saying is the book, Getting Fucked by My Butt, is a great book.
I believe that.
I'm gonna put stuff in my.
Yeah.
Well, so Chuck Tingle. I think in an interview with Two Girls One Podcast. I listened to an interview with Chuck Tingle, and
I
that was a very interesting interview.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
But the reason why I bring that up, though, is because like 50 Shades of Grey is not the only smut book that exists. There's a whole universe of smut books.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know
you
if we're
mean erotica.
Touch. Well, no, sorry. Smut books and erotica. So
okay.
Smut books have a category.
Two different kind of concepts right
fair
there.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
that's fair enough. 50 Shades is terrible.
So give us a brief synopsis. What is 50 Shades even about?
I'll give you a brief synopsis because I've read them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I've also seen them, but it's been a minute. I believe in like sort of knowing your enemy here, and when I found out about these books, I was like, "Oh my gosh." People are going to say, "But Mango, it introduces people to the concept of kink and BDSM and, you know, these types of relationship dynamics."
Mm-hmm.
And I can't deny that. I can't say it doesn't introduce them to that. Unfortunately, I think it does it in an unethical and irresponsible way.
Right.
And to me, that doesn't make it worth its fame and popularity. Okay,
correct.
Synopsis time.
Sounds like
go
a
ahead.
Gray area cool. for that.
I was going to say one thing to hopefully not perpetuate the conversation, but they signed a contract. Okay, that's all I want to say.
If you sign a contract and you're under any amount of duress or coercion, you aren't... To be clear with our listeners, and we've talked about this in the past, when you do things like sign contracts and kink, it's still an at-will activity. The contract is still, it's like sort of part of play.
Right.
It's not legally binding.
Well, no. Also, and maybe this will be the last thing we talk about, so we don't spend too much more time. But
wait,
in
we
the
haven't
current
even said what it's about.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna give you a synopsis.
Okay. I'll say in the current legal environment, contracts, thanks to the former guy, number 45, the leader of the United States, unfortunately. NDAs have been destroyed in courts. They have not held up for NDAs of
Very
our, you
good
can't
point.
Talk about these things. So
very good point.
Yeah.
Synopsis. Young woman out of college doing her journalism degree. Has never had a sexual encounter in her life.
Never?
And she happens to be both like very ladylike and dainty, but also clumsy. And also she works at a hardwood store, which is cool.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Clumsy hardwood store worker?
Her name is Anastasia Steele.
She's an edgelord.
Yeah, no, this is all real.
Steele?
Anastasia Steele.
So Mary Sue.
Yeah, yes. Although I also hate this idea of a Mary Sue in general because it, to me, it's like, we'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
The point is she meets Christian Grey because she goes and interviews him. He's like a tycoon of industry. He's super rich, successful, super hot businessman.
So he's fake Don Kenny.
He is fully fake Don. I mean, we should have called fake Dom Kenny. Christian.
Maybe that's his real name.
Oh, it is probably his real name. Anyway, so she meets him because she's interviewing him for like school paper type thing.
Right.
And the first thing she does coming into his office is like trip and he catches her and it's like, how insufferable.
It's a meat cue.
It's a meat disgusting, but yes. The point is he becomes infatuated, starts obsessing over her. Follows her around, takes her car away so he can buy her a new car. They all the while, by the way, the readers are meant to believe that Anastasia's like falling in love with him.
Right. Hold on. So we do have some better candidates for things to kind of give all the details about. I know we want to spoil Fifty Shades of Grey, but it's like 17 books. I just wanted to mention that secretary. That's three too many. But as far as three too many based on the concept of its portrayal of BDSM. But I was going to say, like, compare it to the secretary so we can, like, start transitioning to that one.
That's a good idea. I will say, because I didn't get to the part of the story where Christian introduces her to kink.
Okay, there we go.
And she knows nothing about it. She does some research. Immediately, he's like, sign a contract. You have to be my submissive. You're going to live in my house. Mm-hmm. You're going to wear what I tell you. She also, like, she doesn't know anything.
She doesn't know herself.
She doesn't know herself. She's never had intercourse of any kind, including oral.
And then this man just rolls up in his life. Sign the dotted line.
Shit. I'm going to control everything in your life. He also pushes limits, like, you know, he hits her way too hard. She's unhappy about it. Mm-hmm. She's literally scared of him for most of the series, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
She's afraid of his anger. He has intense anger problems.
Yikes.
Like, I am literally scratching the surface here.
These are the books that the housewives got their hands on. And that's what made it so popular.
Yeah, and it makes me sad because the truth is, you know, like, if you have desires to like have someone else take control in the bedroom, that's one thing.
Right.
But to have your reference be someone abusing their partner
in a power.
In a power dynamic.
Well, so would you two consider this being a situation of it just kind of being pushed to the extreme, like that extreme portrayal of kink and media?
Of kink and media.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say of kink.
No. The portrayal of kink and media is like that extreme, like, I'm going to do this, and oh, no, but because I'm dominant.
I actually think it's not very extreme. Like,
really?
In the books and movies even, there's like some spanking, some nipple clamps, a tiny bit of like butt plug play.
So maybe not the acts are extreme, but like the whole scenario.
What's extreme
itself
is the abuse.
Yeah. So I think like that they're extrapolating it and making it like, oh, let's like, how can we take this to the
right?
How can we make it sensational?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say that, because Orange brought up the secretary.
Right.
That's in some ways much more extreme examples of kink.
Mm.
And remind me, have the two of you seen The Secretary?
No.
I have
but
seen...
But I did talk to The Secretary.
Did you? Wait. No, I want to hear the story. Hold
on.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, because, okay, Denzel
has
parties.
That was just a joke.
I know. Okay, so The Secretary, I enjoy much more as a movie. Mm-hmm. It's much more artistic. It's in many ways feels less real, but also the acts feel accessible. I know sounds really vague.
So when you do you mean accessible as in like how kink would actually look or what kink would actually be?
How when I'm watching it, I can relate in some ways. I can feel what the characters are feeling. Maybe
more
you can
empathy.
Just yeah, maybe you just chalk that up to better acting. I'm not really sure.
I mean, that could do it too.
Well, no. So have you seen Secretary?
No.
So neither of you have seen The Secretary. Okay. Very brief synopsis of The Secretary. Right. A woman, and I think she's it's Maggie Gyllenhaal is the actress. I think she's probably in her early or mid-20s, having some struggles in her life, finding herself. She's also doing some self-harm. Mm. And she ends up getting applying for a secretary job at James Spader, who's the actor. I forget his name in the movie, but his like law company. Yes, he is the Lizard King.
From The Office.
From The Office. and he has a very particular way. He likes things done. And he sort of catches on relatively quickly that she is interested in basically being told what to do, receiving these punishments in many ways that kink and media does not address consent. That is also the case here in that we don't see like a separate discussion of we don't see a negotiations discussion.
So this one had it?
The secretary, I would say no, the secretary didn't have a separate visible discussion of of you know, boundaries and limits and whatnot. So in that sense, it's unfortunate,
is
what I'll say. A lot of portrayals of kink and media don't involve negotiations, which is why you should listen to episode 4 of season 1 of our podcast.
Ooh, great plug right there.
But something that is like important in the movie is that he, and one thing I find beautiful about kink is that he doesn't want her to self-harm, but he offers her a way to explore pain in a safer way with him. That's my understanding.
Well, so you mentioned The Secretary is a better depiction of the extreme side. So comparing the two, and you know, we have a lot of movies listed as far as kink movies, but like Mango pointed out, and I think Denzel echoed, is like our list is pretty small. Like our list seems to be the same. Like every top 15 list of best kink movies seems to be like the same top 4, top 5.
And it also seems like just between these two examples, like if we're saying that there's 15 and then 2 out of the 15 movies are about like almost almost the exact same concept, like this man in this high position of power.
Right.
And then there's this like woman who's finding herself and then they fall into this like network kind of connection and then like
is it already a power dynamic because of a working environment.
Yeah, and that in itself, like when you think about how does that infer our understanding of kink?
Yeah.
The example that Hollywood is portraying is that in order to have the typical kink dynamic, if you are a cis-identifying man, you gotta have power. You gotta have lots of black suits. You gotta
to
work
white.
At the top. Yeah.
You gotta be white.
Yeah.
Be white.
Clean cut all the time. You know, no disheveled looking or anything
suits,
like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, that one actually brings us into the next one.
Before we hop to the next one, I do want to say I did some looking into these, you know, which movies had a different dynamic, because Denzel brings up such a good point that not only is the kink represented poorly, but we enforce this idea of white men in charge and typically in this case, you know, white cis women, not in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a movie I found out of Korea from 2022 called Love and Leashes, where, a working man submits to his, working cis man submits to his cis female boss. So that's different.
Mm-hmm. You know, In
slightly different, and it's Korean, so it's not white people.
I have this. I'm just gonna share my opinion and
share
like,
it.
in anime, right? I'm a big anime fan. So anybody you want to talk anime off the clock, we can do this back and forth. But in anime, one of the tropes that sometimes is utilized in certain scenes and shows is that there's a lot of this idea of like this submissive man and they're always running to please their woman, this dominating woman who has this power over them in some capacity. And you saying that it's South Korean anime is more Japanese based, but I wonder like what those cultures infer based off of like the difference of who's looking for who in the power situation.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, because kink is a fantasy realm.
Exactly.
Right. Well, in Denzo, have you seen, oh God, what's it? Soul Eater?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, exactly.
I was going to mention Death the Kid, and also I was going to mention Black Star. Because like Black Star, like it seems like his interaction with Afune is kind of like...
Kind of subtle.
She's like, summons him, but he's trying to impress her. But then on the other hand, it's like, Death the Kid, oh my God.
So, I'm the one on the outside here.
What you call its dad too, right?
Which one?
The dad is always like just like fawning, like
the main character. Yes, girl's dad. Yeah.
Exactly. So it happens a lot, and it's just interesting to see.
That
like,
is interesting.
This is a different kind of approach. And the truth is,
you know, the three of us are American.
Exactly.
Yeah. So our frame of reference is actually pretty limited because I'm not. I mean, like I love watching quote unquote foreign films, films that are not American. Mm-hmm. But even as I did the research into movies and films that were about kink or related to kink or contained kink, really the only one that I found, or like, that's not true. The only one that I found that was from Asia was this Korean one. There were a few from Europe.
Yeah.
How do y'all feel about talking about some shows?
Okay. Is the Great British Bake Off one of the shows? It's kinky. Because like if you say yes, I will believe you.
Okay. I mean, when I watch what it, they say.
I'm joking halfway because one of the judges is a guy named Paul Hollywood who
his name is Paul.
Yes, his name is Paul Hollywood. And he's got like silver hair and stunning blue eyes, and he's kind of like a a thick Paul Hollywood. Man. Paul Hollywood, Liverpool. And his whole thing when he's really impressed with someone is to give them a handshake. And can I just tell you the amount of groveling and just covering myself in baked goods I would do for one of those handshakes? I think it's called splooshing.
Yeah, splooshing. Yes.
The amount of splooshing I would do for our listeners, splooshing is involving putting food on your body. That's broadly.
It's an extension of wet and messy. Wham. Yeah.
Right. So food on body.
Right.
The amount of splooshing I would do to please that man for one fucking handshake.
Just one.
But no, GBBO is not technically what I was going to talk about.
Are there any other shows that they all know of? I mean, I know there's a few we have listed, but.
Have y'all watched Bonding?
Nope.
Or heard of Bonding?
I have watched Bonding.
Like, what do you think about Bonding?
And
what is Bonding about briefly?
So Bonding is about just to be extremely brief because like I have a very vague memory of the entire show. The main character, the story follows two characters. One of them is happens to be a gay guy in the UK, and then the other one has to be like a straight lady. His high school friend. Long story short, the guy's out on his luck and he needs a job, so she hires him to be an assistant for her dominatrix work. And then we get to experience the world through his eyes as a gay male in the UK, kind of dealing with what he's dealing with like people being homophobic, and also interacting with his friend from high school and learning about BDSM and consent and stuff. However, the show takes some really questionable turns at points.
Yeah,
it's like I'm. So the reason why I mentioned the sexual orientation of the main character is because like it's not the primary focus of the show, but it's a focus. And one of the plot lines is that he lives with this like super straight dude bro guy, and the dude bro's like, yeah, we're doing this stuff, I'm super straight, but hey, can you like stick your finger in my butt because I'll be fun. And it's like I appreciate the show for not like being like gross with the homophobia stuff, but like it was like that aggressive male sexual energy. It was like, ew.
I think what's gross about the show is that, much like in other depictions, there's very little discussion of consent.
Yes.
And like it actually becomes part of the joke of the show that consent is so squishy.
Mm-hmm.
including this relationship between the friends where this this Dom invites her friend to work for her and is not even really clear with him about his responsibilities.
Oh, his first day, he's thrown right in.
He's thrown right in, which is not consensual for her clients or for her friend. So the Dom community, D-O-M-M-E, Dom community, has actually come out pretty strongly against the show.
As they should.
That being said, it's another show, or it's another example of kink and media that has exposed a wide audience.
But it's to exposing kink. It to practices that we as actual kinksters...
You don't have to tell me. I fully...
You know what? It needs? Yeah. We need kinksters in the writer's room.
I agree. We need,
like kink consultants.
Exactly. Yes. You need somebody to come in and read it and be like, okay, you know what?
Kinksultants. I don't know.
That sounds like a side hustle that we would have.
Yes.
Taking in the scene kinksultants.
Look, Hollywood, if you're hiring consultants, the three of us would be happy to come in.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, but it's not too far because like you consider the world, we have disability writers, we have racial writers.
Yeah, science writers, legal writers.
Yeah,
they
basically look over scripts.
Medical
and stuff.
Writers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really not that. But the problem is, if I saw that script, I would be like, you have to change your entire show premise. Right.
Actually, write it all over.
Right. I would. Well, because the premise of the show is already flawed.
Correct. And I also say, just throw it to Denzel for a second. There's this one part, just to explain it in as vague detail as possibly can without poisoning the well too much, where a client for the Dom is like, I want you to shave my penis. So she has her assistant, her friend, this is like episode 5 or 6 or three or four, and she has her assistant do it for her because, I don't know, something happened.
Yeah.
And then like he's kind of thrown into this room of shaming this guy's penis and the size of it and stuff. And then the guy orgasms at the end. So my question to you is if you're just watching the show generically or you're just hearing about that as a kinkster yourself, what do you feel could be the potential flags about the scenario? Because it happened about as I explained it with not much.
I mean, the whole setup in itself sounds too difficult to even want to, like you said, is that I would just want to start it all over because the fact that this idea of the consent is being implied off screen is why don't you could take time to show us that process. If you're showing us establishing shots of the building and these people walking in, you can do 2 to 3 minutes of that.
Yeah. I'll also add to Orange's comment, just for more context for you, Denzel. The assistant is in a position where he thinks what he's doing is kind of weird.
He also is
almost, from a narrator perspective, making fun of this guy for wanting this.
He's not even genuine.
He's not into it.
Right.
It's a job.
It's a job. But I know lots of pro doms and sex workers in general who, it's a job for them, but they would never shame. I mean, unless someone's asking for something truly dangerous or, I don't know. I'm just saying that shame is not part of it.
Right.
And for me, shame shouldn't be in kink at all.
Well, shame is not a part of it unless you're negotiating it.
Right.
Exactly. It has to be explicitly negotiated.
Yeah.
But if that hasn't
unless you want to be shamed and the person is
okay with shaming into that. Yeah.
Well,
I have another TV show.
Oh, go for it.
Tell us.
Do y'all remember, and this is going to date me a little bit, do y'all remember on HBO...
Uh-oh.
This show called Real Sex.
Oh,
is that the taxi cab show?
Familiar.
No,
no.
It had actress Katie Morgan, and she was the host. She would have she would interview adult film stars, people who are into S&M, all different kinds of stuff. But it used to come on late night HBO.
That's amazing.
And
what
this was on in the 2000s. So it's no longer on TV. But this was. For me, and maybe other millennials who are listening, this might have been the show that you weren't supposed to watch that first informed. I remember watching that as a kid and being it was actually low-key informative.
I was just going to say, it sounds more informative than Bonding.
It kind of was, but I don't remember much about it, but it was one of those things that existed. Late night HBO.
Right.
So I was going to mention Skinamax as a passing joke, but one thing I was going to use to piggyback off of that is
Skinamax.
just the conflation of sex with kink, because kink, some people look at kink and it's their expression, it's for some people, it's a fetish where they need it to get off. Some people are just like, I just enjoy touching feet. I just enjoy wearing a diaper. I just enjoy relaxing and being shamed or something. I don't know. So like, I was going to ask you two, is that an extension of the extreme side where, like, it must be about sex always when you're doing kink things?
I think that's accessible to a wider audience because it's not so accessible to be like, I think we talked about this in season two at some point, but in an episode of Broad City where the Alana and Abby, who are the main characters, go to this guy's house to clean his house.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's wearing a diaper. And the audience, it's a funny episode, but the audience is led to believe that this person is a joke. And also then he ends up stiffing them on their payment.
Because he's a kid.
Yeah, because he's a baby and he doesn't have money. And it is in the episode, it's funny. Right. And then I thought about it later and I was like, that is a depiction of kink in media, you know, adult baby diaper lovers. Adult baby diaper lovers. You know, I was actually at a party recently explaining this to someone because someone was like, why would they wear a diaper? And I'm like, I don't know, maybe they didn't have, you know, like for whatever reason.
Yeah, for
whatever
reason.
Not saying trauma is always the reason, but maybe this person didn't have access to a safe childhood and wants to explore that.
Well, so like, apologies on cutting both of you off at like the inflection point of both of these points, but like I was going to bring it back over to Intel for a second. I was going to mention Howard Stern and shows like Talking Sex.
Just Howard Stern, period.
Hold on. He's such a shithead.
Hold on. Let me finish. The talk shows being like people's introduction into learning about it.
I hope people don't learn about King through Howard Stern.
But, you know, He's
like Joe Rogan before Joe Rogan.
Okay, look, but I'm going to tell you, this is some wild stuff because, like, you know, I just got back from Europe. Shout out to the audience. I just got back from Europe. But one of the things that when I was chatting with, you know, different Europeans was that when they think of, like, Black culture or American culture, their reference is something that they've seen in pop culture. Yeah. And they're trying to connect and relate to me and be like, oh, well, you know, like you like show me this video of like this guy freestyling. And then the real rapper Common comes up and starts freestyling. She's like, this woman was just like, I just love how these like two random Black guys just came. And it's like,
no. Black guys.
But this is pop culture.
Yeah.
And
I
this is how they get it. So
for me, it's just sad to me.
It's very sad and it's unfortunate, but it's also like, I have to give a little bit of grace because this is the only way that you, if this is the only way that you have access to it, then at least you're here. But now that you're here, let me tell you that this is actually
now
wrong.
Now listen to our podcast.
And we can put you on to better stuff instead.
It's not, now that you know better, you do better. I was going to mention, so I'm literally, one of my psychology class, like literally I'm doing the test for today. it's talking about like the developmental phases of in psychology. And one of the things it mentions is like assimilation versus versus adjustment. And it's a learning style for kids when, you know, if a kid sees a fluffy animal, it's like, that's a cat. The first time they see a dog, it's like, it's a cat. Why is it not meowing? Or the first time they see like a raccoon, it's a cat. But then like that's kind of like
a
balance.
Cat.
That's kind of like a balance between the kid of trying to make the thing assimilate.
I see the point you're making.
Versus adjusting to it. So I'm wondering if that's an extension of that, what Denzel's bringing
up. I think that's a good point.
Yeah. I kind of, but it it doesn't make the person who's giving the introduction any better.
Right.
Because if you know better, but you're presenting it to, again, be sensational, then you're ultimately doing a disservice to your audience.
Yeah, this is why I'm not a Howard Stern fan.
I mean,
sexist.
Yeah, good gracious.
Unbelievably sexist at times.
Like, I remember he would have, like,
excessively.
The Sibian going in some of his.
But I mean, that's so. If we can normalize sex enough to where Sibians at work, I mean, I'm just saying.
I mean, he was kind of ahead of the game.
If everyone gives consent.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, we'll talk about this when we talk about stuff like Kink Talk, which is the side of TikTok where kinksters are making content. But like, stuff like getting consent from an audience is also important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And being clear with your audience what you're going to be portraying, doing, saying. And like, I don't know, maybe his audience wasn't consenting to having Sibian on the
show. I don't
know.
It was also like the 90s.
Yeah, 90s was wild.
Wild time.
Not a good kind of wild, because that was Britney Spears and who was it? Britney Spears and somebody else got... There was a whole lot of pop stars who just like were just...
Unfiltered age.
God, it's so
yeah.
bad. It's so
yeah,
bad.
It was a weird time. And mm-hmm. now that I look back on it, or now that I guess we look back on it, we're like, wow, we were sexist and fatphobic and awful. Really oh, racist.
Everything.
And all the isms and obias, phobias.
Do we have another show?
I'd love to talk about... and neither of you have seen the show. It's called Masters of Sex. It's about the researchers, Masters and Johnson, from the 60s, who were the first researchers to literally examine, and I mean literally examine, masturbation, the orgasm for people with vaginas and vulvas. They defined the different phases of an orgasm. And the show... I think it was only two seasons. The first season was spectacular. Mm-hmm. If you are looking for someone to watch, showed, you know, like the relationship between these two researchers and the relationship between mm-hmm. Race at the time. There was a lot of racism, and one of the only places that Masters, who is the doctor, the PhD of these two people, was able to work was in. Mm-hmm. Predominantly black hospitals, especially after their research became popular, and other universities thought they were uncouth.
Uncouth.
My point is, I actually thought that show did a pretty good job representing at least their research relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was a bit sensationalized.
Wow. But you gotta be if you're on TV.
Right, gotta be.
And the question, is that why we call it a Johnson? And is that why we call it masturbation? No?
Let's just pretend the answer's yes, just for funsies.
I just
Johnson and Johnson's too.
I just Googled it because like I'm very unfamiliar with this, but I'm gonna look it up for sure afterwards. But yeah, Masters, William Masters, I'm assuming a black man.
No, he was a white man. They were both white.
White man, and Virginia E. Johnson is a white lady?
Yes, she's a white woman.
Okay, so they both is. Which kind of goes into like just the aggressiveness, and we're seeing this in politics, which is unfortunate because like when politicians are making medical decisions, it's like, why? But we're seeing this in like the political realm and like the social realm and the culture wars realm, if you will, to where people are just looking at sex as a, we can't talk about it, we can't do anything, babies just show up. That's all you need to know. And it's like, no, you need people need to know, you know, hey, my penis is doing this thing today. How do I deal with this? Or hey, what does it mean when my vulva is like leaking like this way? Like those are important conversations that we can't even have.
Yeah, and honestly, their research would never fly today. For a lot of ethical reasons, to be clear. But also because no one would fund. Actually, I can't say that. I haven't looked into it if anyone's doing that type of research. So for our listeners, if you know of anyone doing this type of research, let us know.
Also, if you are doing this research.
Actually, there is a major kink mm-hmm. study happening, but it's surveys. It's not, there's, sorry, if you heard that little huff just then, that was my cat exploring the mic.
Every episode. Season three is.
No exception.
Pussy on the lab.
So, there's obviously more movies and shows. Mm-hmm. I really do want to spend the last 20 minutes or so talking about social media because it's such a big deal.
If my algorithm on Instagram knows
I'm a kinkster.
Before you go into that, like, can I throw in like the quick blurb from Twitter?
So that is social media.
So we can spend the rest of the time talking about TikTok because I'm more.
No, let's talk about both. Talk about both.
Oh. Well, the only thing I'll say about Twitter is like Twitter is hot and cold. And to be more specific, there's people who are pro sex workers, there's people who are negative sex workers, people who are pro BDSM, mm-hmm. negative BDSM. So somebody who made a comment saying, you know, somebody showed a picture of their butt mm-hmm. after they had a session with their top.
Right.
And then the person responded, back when I was a dom, I never did that before. And you know, it was a dom lady person. So back when I was a dom, I would never have my clients look at this. To which I, you know, I respect this person, I follow this person on Twitter. So I'm like, hey, different people have different things, but I understand what you're saying because you as a black lady or as a black mm-hmm. dom or whatever region you're in, maybe that wasn't the thing, but this person wanted that. So why are we shaming that? So ultimately, it wasn't like a hard-fought argument. It was more like a, she made her point, I made my point, and then we kind of met somewhere in the middle saying, okay, I see what you're saying.
Well, that's unique on Twitter, because Twitter is a hellscape of opinionated people place. Screaming their opinions into the void.
All caps.
All caps.
But you can tone it down.
Yeah.
The last little bit I'll bring in about, and this is more about sex work than BDSM, but just about people who kind of look at, especially pro-dommies and stuff, mm-hmm. pro-doms, and say sex work, oh, it's not empowering, it's degrading.
Right.
And somebody posted,
oh, we're reading tweets.
Yeah.
It says, sex work doesn't have to be empowering to be a valid job.
Yeah.
No one cared about whether my job empowered me when I was in the food service or retail, but suddenly y'all think my job is horrible while it pays me 3 to 4 times more. Shut the fuck up.
I love that.
I mean, yeah, we don't labor to be empowered all the time.
Right.
Nine times out of 10.
Right.
Yeah, right. Such a good point.
So why does it have to apply just because it's a personal,
also, empowerment is an individual experience. So, like, just back off.
And we've overused that word.
Yeah.
Empowerment.
I'm empowered.
So,
speaking of kink power.
Kink talk.
So, Denzel, I know you use TikTok.
I actually
do you not
anymore.
You don't anymore. Okay.
I just.
But you're familiar.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay. And Orange is not on TikTok.
I have avoided TikTok. So yes, I do not.
Okay, that's fine. For our listeners who aren't super familiar with TikTok.
Also, let's hope that it doesn't get banned.
I really hope it doesn't get banned.
Funny to talk about this.
I hope it doesn't get banned because that is literally a violation of free speech. For all people talk about free speech, that would be a violation of free speech.
I mean, it's free speech, but it's very difficult.
Are you pro?
Hold on. It's very difficult to exert your control over the masses when there's a platform like that existing. Therefore, kill it.
Good point. Very good point.
Kill it. Destroy
it. That is literally why they're doing it. And also, right. To be clear with our listeners, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg paid $20 million to a conservative lobbying firm to lobby against TikTok.
Yeah.
$20 million.
And then he's going to steal the secret sauce. And
that's a whole other conversation that I would love to get into. But for now, I want to talk about kink talk specifically.
So wait. Does kink talk have a positive display of kink in media, or is it a negative one?
So it's sort of, I would say, generally speaking, and this is just my opinion, I would say generally speaking, it's a positive representation because the community is on TikTok, and when people act a fool, they are called on it so quickly.
Right, right.
That being said, on TikTok in general, but specifically on kink talk, kink educators can gain fame and recognition very quickly. So they gain a lot of clout, a lot of power, and their words are suddenly taken as gospel. And like, we'll talk about, we have another episode on platform responsibility where we'll talk about this kind of thing. What is the responsibility of people who are creators and have a platform?
Mm-hmm.
And often these creators on Kink Talk gain this fame so quickly and then are called out by others in the community, it's revealed that they're in some way problematic.
Right.
And that, I would say, it's a good thing. You reveal problems. But I think the issue with kink talk in general is that, you know, these people have viral moments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And, they're not always right.
And that's the thing, is that we live in this world where the fact that if you have access to a smartphone and you have access to Wi-Fi, then you have a platform.
Yep.
And if you are in charge of your platform and only you, then
no accountability.
You have no accountability.
Yeah.
And that can easily lead to those areas where it's like, okay, now all of a sudden I have like a million people that I'm going to keep spewing what I've been saying.
Especially because you do make money from it.
If you don't, again, if you haven't had the consultation to make sure that, oh, what I'm saying is right, or what I'm saying is valid or proofed, then again, you are spilling false information, which could be dangerous.
It can be. I'm truly of both minds, because on the one hand, Orange had asked, is it overall a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
I love that normal people, normal educators who didn't have a broad audience before, especially if they're good educators, suddenly have an audience and and you know, all these people who have questions about kink and BDSM mm-hmm. can turn to these educators. And I think that's really important. That's one of the reasons I think TikTok is right. actually quite special.
No, that is a good component of it because right. again, it allows you to open up the door. So the same way that the platform can be used negatively, right. it could also be used like,
really positively. Yep.
I never had one before and now I got one.
Right.
And y'all want to listen to what I got to say?
Exactly. Well,
it's also like kind of a killer. So I say it's a killer because like I'm just thinking like expanding this to its extreme. We're talking about we live in a capitalist society, unfortunately, in the mm-hmm. United States. So once people find out that there's a market that wants to hear sex communicators and people who talk about kink communicators, science communicators, whatever you want to say, biology communicators, I feel like there's going to be a situation to where it's going to become like, you know,
well, that's
like
the negative side of it.
Rainbow capitalism, but with like sex education.
I have a hard time applying that to TikTok because you aren't promised, mm-hmm. you know, profit from TikTok. So okay. people actually do go on sort of altruistically to share the information they know.
Yeah. No, it may not be financial capital, but there's definitely,
yeah, like, there's clout.
Yeah. And you know, that's what's sponsors. Driving you.
Right. That's yeah. a good point, Denzel. It's not always financial capital. I will also say, you know, in among TikTok or on TikTok, there are people who make, you know, mm-hmm. kinky thirst traps, a thirst trap for our listeners who don't know.
Mm-hmm. What is a thirst trap?
The thing is, I assume everyone knows the same things I know, but that's just not the case. Mm-hmm. And a thirst trap is a post on social media that's specifically intended to cause arousal in the viewer.
You want to capture arousal from a viewer? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
Take that arousal.
Which just to unfortunately make a tangent on accident, my apologies. I can't help it.
Can I finish my point and then you can make your tangent?
Yes.
My point is that a lot of TikTokers will make these kinky thirst traps. Mm-hmm. And again, I bring up the question, there's two problems with them. Mm-hmm. Well, some of them are great, and I enjoy a lot of them. And to be clear, I'm like, oh, damn, this person's a really hot kinkster.
You captured my thirst.
Oh, my gosh, he's hot.
Go thirst.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's done a good thirst trap, I will admire their thirst traps.
Oh, yeah.
Someone has done a good acumen. Thirst trap.
I will grab
my cup.
Yes, and let I will it run drinketh.
I will be the Pokemon. Yes. Put me in the ball.
My point is, sometimes they're really good, but often they're done in public spaces, which means that people around them couldn't give consent. Another aspect of a thirst trap is when you're on TikTok, you're scrolling through videos. You're just, right. You know, like you come to one video, you scroll past it onto the next one. If you scroll onto a kinky video, ideally it's what you're interested in because the algorithm is very good at knowing what people are interested in, but it might be something you didn't really consent to engage with. And especially when it's a kink, like a demonstration of kink. So I know a lot of kink talkers now will start their videos by saying like, I'm about to do this kink. If I don't have your consent to have this viewed, then you should scroll off this video. But that wasn't the case. That's not the case for everybody.
I just wonder, though, and has that ever been the case for any social media? Like
that might be an issue, though.
Yeah, I guess it kink boils...
Consent and kink, we know, is so delicate.
It's so delicate, but then when you're introducing it also to this public platform, that makes it even more, like, mm-hmm. difficult because it's like...
That's a good point.
It's tricky.
Well, and I would say potentially when you agree to be a viewer on that platform, potentially you're agreeing to any of the content you see.
Same way if you buy a movie ticket.
Right.
And you're like, okay, I
can see that side of
it. But at the same time, this idea that people are recognizing it and putting that like content warning, trigger warning, or right. that heads up, like that.
That's a kindness, I think.
And that kindness goes a long way because in this case that we're talking now, it's like that could be the deciding factor for somebody to say, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this video. Thank you for saying that. Right. Now I'm gonna go to the next thing.
I think the biggest problem, like I understand the perspective that we're presenting or you two are presenting on that. I empathize with that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is like we spend so much time catering to one side of that one side of that argument.
Which is the side that you're talking about?
Which is the side of we need to ban it all because there might be some that are offended.
I don't want to ban it.
No. But our society, like social media platforms, yeah, will cater to that.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, people are saying, well, I'm a pro-dom. I need to advertise. And you're just going to cut me out? Like, are you not going to consider my financial well-being?
Right.
And the people say, well, you're not a real job. It's not a legitimate. It's like, bro, the IRS thinks it's a real job.
Yeah, they do.
This would be my disclaimer, though. If you are anybody who has a business, you need to have your own website. You can't do business solely on social media.
Yeah.
You need to have your own personal space.
Yeah.
I use Squarespace for my stuff.
Hey.
If you ever want to, like, advertise for us or promote for us, we'll do
that. Yes.
Essentially, having your own value. Because you never know when these things might change, when the trends might switch. So have your personal site.
I do appreciate that, Orange, that you said that, you know, our current political climate as of when we recorded this, and I think probably into perpetuity, is one of shutting down platforms for people who are at all different from the patriarchal Christian norm. And that includes things like banning drag and again, we can talk about that in another episode, but and we should.
It's almost like they want to conserve things, huh? Good old American values.
Yep. The question is, what are they conserving?
The good old days. Not good for anybody.
That's what I'm saying. Good for who? It's like
they weren't even good for them.
It's
honestly
never been good old days.
Never been good.
And that I guess we can. I was gonna bring up the word woke. It's our
we're not doing that.
You
today.
Know what's so sad about that is that even the word woke was co-opted.
I know. Well,
by
it's
fucking conservatives.
It was co-opted and is currently replaced because you can't say things like low income. You can't say things like welfare queen. So they're using the word woke now to replace
it.
And it means usually minority persons. And it's like anybody who's minoritied or on the othered.
It's their language to just be racist without.
That's cult talk right there, and that's a whole nother podcast.
To wrap it back into the media thing for a second though, like this is one of those extreme portrayals because people will take the most extreme example of BDSM. It's like, look at 50 Shades of Grey, look how violent this is. Look at this the secretariat, the secretary, not the secretariat.
Hi, I have to deliver some papers.
Not the horse.
The secretariat.
The kinky horse.
But look at the secretary. And look at how violent it is, and look at insert the most extreme example of the
on
thing
TikTok
that you can talk
or something.
About.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's the problem with culture, period, though, is that when you're trying to make a political point, you're always going to pick out the thing that gets your point across.
I mean,
even if it's not the best one at all,
that's true.
Or even if it doesn't make sense, like how politicians will say video games are what causes
violence.
Grand Theft Auto.
It's the opposite.
That's been debunked pretty heavily. We don't have to go into that because we on this podcast understand that that's been debunked.
Oh my gosh, kinky video.
Well, but Mango, kinky video games are what causes violence because Julius Caesar, obviously, Rome, Alexandria,
good
like all
point.
Those. The
solid point you're making.
It's almost like violence has been our thing.
I know.
Wow.
Bring it back to kink talk briefly. I am absolutely of two minds, or of many minds, really much more than two minds. I still overall think it's an important resource because it's, and I almost think it's like took over for like Not Safe for Work Tumblr in a sense.
Oh, gosh, rest in peace, Tumblr.
Right.
It was the first domino to fall.
Yeah.
Actually, second. Not Backpage. What was the other one?
Craigslist. Yeah. Craigslist. I think. But what I like about it is that it's a resource that's accessible. Like Denzel said, if you have a phone, if you have, a tablet, you can access this content, and it means that more people can get education about these sort of niche topics. The question of whether it's always right is another, or always safe, helpful, right, correct, consensual is another question.
But that's, I think, an individual decision to make. Because no matter what you do, people.
Yeah, I don't want to make that decision for
someone. Always check your facts.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're getting something on Kink Talk, congratulations. Take it, absorb it, but then cross-reference
look it up.
Yes.
With whatever other source of information, even if it's another person on Kink Talk.
Right.
Like, you just need those multiple sources. So, you know, always just
I also check like your facts. To add, and I've had friends echo this sentiment. You know, the three of us are on this podcast. We're talking for a full hour every time. Mm-hmm. We are digging pretty deep, and yet a lot of our topics still only scratch the surface.
Yeah.
Imagine how little you're able to put in 1 minute of content.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a 60-minute podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, we've touched on 2-3 movies, 2-3 shows,
mm-hmm.
and TikTok.
Mm.
And we're talking about kink in media.
This sounds like a teaser.
Yeah.
A teaser? Are we going to do more of these episodes?
All I'm saying is, you know, like, in terms of, as Denzel said, check your facts.
Yep, yep.
If you're getting these bite-sized amounts of information, know that you're not getting the full picture.
Exactly. Correct. Exactly. And that's the whole point to continue the research. It's like, a lot of this is the same way we've talked about it, is the introduction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let all the sources of media be the first step you take, but don't let it be the only step you take in this journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I hope that young people do explore further.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah,
sure
I do find too. It really funny though on TikTok when people are like, I've discovered this new kink and it's just something that's been around for forever. And I'm like, oh, that's so cute.
Put flowers behind my ears. Wow.
Yeah.
Real, real novel there.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, that's so cute that you think that you discovered that. That's amazing.
We didn't even get to talk about kink in songs and
music.
Oh no.
That's like, we need to be a whole nother component. Because I'm going to tell you, this is my hot take is that Prince.
Yes.
Was a kinky motherfucker.
He had a song, Sexy Motherfucker, as well as
I'm literally there. Now that you've said kink and music, I'm thinking of all these different songs.
I know one by an artist whose name I pronounced incorrectly. I'm thinking
of Peaches and Cream now.
Rihanna.
S&M. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God. Wait, Beyonce has like three of them. Like if you listen to
Beyonce's Naughty Girl.
All Virgo, of it. Virgo's Groove.
Naughty Girl
Virgo's Groove is kinky as fuck.
See? Are you up in lace?
Oh no, there's so many. Oh, we didn't talk about music.
But what? This is a teaser.
Yeah, it's a teaser.
Teaser.
Okay,
it's
next a teaser. Time. Next time.
Next time. We only have a minute left. To our 90 listeners.
90-minute episode.
To our listeners, if you have examples of kink and media or kink and music that you'd like us to talk about, please reach out to us.
Absolutely.
You can reach us on Instagram at Taking in the Scene Podcast, on Gmail at takinginthescenepodcast@gmail.com, and on FetLife at Taking in the Scene. Any final notes from my co-hosts?
I was going to make the simple note that I'm excited for episode 2 of this, whenever we do that.
Yeah.
Whether it's this season or next season.
We're actually going to have to do more of this.
We're definitely going to.
Because like, Denzel threw me off and said music. I was like, oh, yeah.
I was holding that one in.
Oh, Denzel. My mind is racing with all the examples now, too.
Same.
I can't even say them fast as they come into my head.
Rick James? Oh my gosh.
I know. So gosh, Rick James. Right. Oh man.
Even David Bowie. I mean,
especially David Bowie.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, Denzel, would you like to take us out?
And sometimes the story ends. Sometimes there's a part two. And just like some good sex, we're coming for you.